There's the reason that I don't want to leave you until things are different here like they used to be.
I'll be all right as soon as I find a job. You know, a man who's worked hard all his life like me can't just stop and not have it affect his disposition.
It isn't only you who's changed. Jane and I aren't the same anymore. It's as though something nasty has come into this house during the last 6 months that changed our natures.
Yeah. And funny thing, Gert, you know, when I'm away from here, I ain't a sorehead.
Neither am I. Neither is Jane.
Yeah, the old place gets on our nerves, I guess.
I guess so. But as we've lived in it for almost 20 years, I don't see why it should change at this date.
Well, when I get some money coming in again, I'll have some new paint and wallpaper spread around, sort of brighten things up. Maybe that'll help.
I don't think so. There's something wrong with the house, Dad. It's just us. Better set the table. Things are almost done.
All right. That fella upstairs is home. I can hear him pacing, walking around.
Yes. I wish he wouldn't pace the floor like that. He kept it up nearly all last night, directly over my bedroom.
I've spoken to him about it. He says he's got to walk when he's thinking.
Well, let's hope he'll soon finish that book he's writing so he can stop thinking and give us a little peace.
Yeah. Hey, he ever tell you what kind of book he's working on? He always changes the subject when I ask him.
He's never said anything to me except good morning or good evening, which is just as well, for I can't stand the sight of him.
Yeah, he isn't a very good-looking fella.
He's the ugliest, most repulsive-looking man I've ever seen. It makes me almost physically sick to look at him.
I'd never rented the rooms to him if I didn't need the money, but in the 6 months he's been here, he's paid his rent regular, so we shouldn't kick.
I suppose not.
Say, are you burning something?
I don't think so. No, everything's all right.
Something's burning somewhere. Can't you smell it?
Yes. I've noticed that odor several times before. I think it's something that man upstairs cooks.
Well, he takes his meals outside.
I know, but I always smell it strongest near that door which leads to the stairway.
That's so. I guess you're right. I get an awful whiff of it over here. Whew! Oh, it's worse than rotten eggs. Better open that window and air the place out.
Open it yourself. I can't leave this stove.
When there's something to do, you and Jane always have some excuse.
What's this about Jane?
Oh, yeah, so you're home at last.
Looks like it, don't it? This place smells like a pig pen. Better open a window.
Anyway, instead of giving orders, suppose you tell me why you weren't here an hour ago.
Dad, for heaven's sake, don't start grouching again. I thought you had it out of your system for the evening.
He better have it out of his system, for I haven't come home to be browbeaten.
Don't you dare talk to me like that, either of you! You girls aren't so grown up that you can treat your father like a child!
Then don't act like one!
Jane, stop it!
She better stop it!
You won't make me!
We'll see about that!
Dad, don't! No! You nasty brute!
He'll never have a chance to strike me again!
Come back here!
I'm leaving you in this rotten house forever!
No, you're not!
Dad, let her go!
If you don't let go of me, I'll kill him!
Jane, throw down that knife!
You keep away from me, too! I hate you! I hate you both!
You little devil!
Don't touch me! Don't you dare!
Dad! Jane, stop!
Dad!
Have you both turned into beasts?
Jane! Neither did I, kid. I'm sorry, too.
What came over both of you? What's happening to all of us here? What is happening?
Good Lord!
What was that?
It's Mr. Black upstairs!
Whoa! Someone's up there with him. They're fighting!
Oh, those screams!
I'm going up there.
No, wait. Call the police.
Dad, come back.
We can't let him go alone. Jane, come.
Gilmore!
I'm coming!
Dad!
His door's locked.
The screams have stopped.
What's happening in there?
Black! Mr. Black!
He doesn't answer.
I'm gonna break this lock.
No, don't! Whoever fought with him is still inside, for this is the only door.
I'm big enough to handle who's ever in here. I'm going in.
Dad!
There's Mr. Black upon the floor.
His face is all purple. Horrible.
He's dead.
Let's get out of here. Let's get out quick.
Yes, call the police.
You go and call. If the murderer is still here, I'll give him no chance to get away.
No, don't go into that other room. He may be hiding there with a gun.
No, if he had a gun, we'd have heard a shot. He'd have shot Black. And we'd have heard, we heard no shot. Come out! Whoever you are, come out! This room's empty.
So is the bathroom there.
All these windows are closed and locked. Let's see that other room again.
The windows are closed and locked in here.
And in the bathroom.
No one could have gotten out of here, yet no one's in these rooms but us, and...
And that dead man.
How?
What?
That awful odor. It permeates this place.
So, you heard screams and the sound of scuffling, and when you got up here, this man was dead.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Yet you say you touched nothing in these rooms, that every window was closed and fastened tight as they are now, and that the only door to the flat was bolted on the inside.
Yes.
Well, then how do you explain how the murderer got away?
Lieutenant.
If there was a murderer, he couldn't have gotten away.
Oh, there was a murderer, all right. This room looks as if a cyclone had struck it. The dead man didn't throw this furniture all about and then commit suicide, did he? You found out yet what killed him, Doc?
Boy, I can't find any external wounds. Congestion of blood in the face suggests strangulation, but there's no pressure marks upon the throat. I can't tell you what caused the death until the autopsy, but offhand, I think it was fear.
Fear?
Now, I know that's not a very scientific diagnosis, but have you ever seen a more terrified look upon a man's face?
I never saw a more ugly face. It gives me the creeps, and I'm pretty hard-boiled. You mean he might have been so scared of something that his heart stopped?
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, what about poison? Some poison to account for that scared expression, and also them screams that these people heard.
Yeah. And in the death agony induced by a few violent poisons, he might have caused the wreckage in this room.
All right, well, then maybe he did commit suicide, then.
Perhaps, but violent poisons, like carbolic or prussic acid, for instance, always leave their telltale marks upon the body and their characteristic odor. Neither is present here.
Well, there's an odor of some sorts in these rooms.
Yeah,
a rotten odor.
I noticed that the moment it came in. But it's not that of any poison I'm familiar with. Besides, you haven't found any bottle or glass that might have contained a drug, have you?
No, haven't. Suppose you get that stiff out of here and on an autopsy table so I can have the real dope on this as soon as possible.
Take him down to the wagon, boys.
Yes, sir.
I'll report back to you as soon as I'm finished with him, Lieutenant.
Okay, Doc.
Can we go downstairs now?
I can't stand being in this awful room much longer.
Well, you'll just have to stand it a little longer, sister.
My girls can't tell you anything more than they already have. This thing has been a rotten shock for them. Why didn't you let them go?
Well, because there's still a few questions I want answered. Screwy as it looks right now, I got a hunch this is a murder case. And if it turns out that way, the story you've told me so far ain't so good.
What do you mean?
You claim you found this dead guy alone in a room that was all locked up inside.
We did!
That's what you say.
You don't think...
Hey, are you trying to accuse us of being in on this?
That's probably his bright idea, Mr. Sharon.
Oh, Jim?
Jim McGrath.
Hello, Gertie. Hello, Jane. How are you, Lieutenant?
How?
What are you doing here?
We just got word of what happened over at the DA's office. Naturally, I came right over. I overheard your conversation as I came up the stairs.
Well, since when have you assistant DAs been detailed to butt in on police cases?
I detailed myself to butt in on this case, for the very good reason that Miss Sharon and I are engaged to be married.
What? Why didn't you folks tell me Jim McGrath was that close to your family? Why, he and I, we vote in the same ward. He gets a chance to do me a favor now and then, don't you, boy? Listen, Jim, these girls are pretty upset by what took place here tonight. Suppose you take them and their father downstairs so they can pull themselves together. I'll not be bothering them anymore.
Thanks, Lieutenant. But in case they need a lawyer later on, I'd like to look around up here a bit, if you don't mind.
Well, sure. Help yourself.
Mr. Sharon, you take the girls downstairs.
Come, Dad. Let's get away from here.
Yeah, Lord knows I'm willing enough to go.
I'll stay here with you, Jim.
I'd like to have you, Gertie. I met Dr. Chalmers as he was leaving, Lieutenant. He let me look at the dead man.
Pretty sight, wasn't he?
Very. But scarcely more repulsive than he was in life.
You knew him?
I'd seen him coming in and out of the house here. You know, I call almost every evening.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sure. Well, none of the family seemed to know much about him.
He wasn't given to confidence, as I understand. Even your dad has never seen him in these rooms since he rented them to the man, has he, Gert?
No, Mr. Black had a special lock put on the door that Dad just broke, and his every action implied that he wished to be left alone.
One of them mysterious eggs. May have been a crook using this place as a hideaway. We'll find out about that when we check his fingerprints.
I don't think he'll prove to be a criminal. Not a professional, at any rate.
Why not?
Too many books around the place. Bad men, as a rule, don't go in for scholarship.
Did Black bring these books with him when he moved in, Miss Sharon, or did he buy them later?
He had them when he came, several dozen big packing cases full. He told Dad that he had spent most of his life collecting them.
A crook on the lam don't travel around with his own personal library, that's certain.
Did you look over these books?
No. Why should I?
What a man reads is often a pretty good index of his character.
What did this guy read?
Not very healthy stuff, apparently. This case is devoted to works on Satanism.
Satanism?
Devil worship.
Why, you don't mean that people worship...
Oh, yes. There's a secret worldwide cult that practices such a faith.
Oh, saints preserve us.
Jim, the volumes here deal with witchcraft and magic.
Yes, and some of them are very rare. I've done quite a little research on this sort of thing, as a hobby.
Are all these books about such screwy stuff?
Yes. It's all concerned with demonology of one sort or another. Let's have a look at this big case over here.
I can't read most of them titles. They're in a foreign language.
What's here, Jim? More work on occultism.
No. Although these subjects are allied in most perverted forms, these shelves contain some of the vilest stuff ever written. The Marquis de Sade's Justine and Juliet... Works of Restif de la Breton, Crimes of Gilles de Rais. Every book here is concerned with torture, cruelty, and downright filth. I don't see a single decent, wholesome volume in the room. That man's mind must have been more repulsive than his face, since this is what he fed it with.
Well, knowing that won't help me find who murdered him, if he was murdered.
No, I suppose not. Doc Chalmers said it might have taken poison.
There's nothing here he could have took it from. And suicides usually leave farewell notes behind. He didn't. There ain't a scrap of writing in the place.
No writing?
They haven't even found the book he told us he was writing.
That's the book I was thinking of. Might give you a line on him, Lieutenant Dawn.
Well, he may have it locked up in this little safe here. I'm having it cracked open in the morning.
How about those scraps of paper in the fireplace?
We looked them over. No leads there. It's evidently just some waste he touched a match to.
Funny. All four margins are left on these charge sheets. Only the center, where the writing may have been, is burned away.
I thought that was screwy myself. Fire don't usually stop at the edges of a piece of paper. But that don't tell us nothing either.
No, it doesn't. What a peculiar odor.
You just noticed that?
It's very weak now, Jim, but it filled these rooms when... when we found the tenant dead.
That's another thing that don't mean nothing. Only I'm sick of inhaling it. It reminds me of... Gech of a slaughterhouse. Come on, let's get out of here.
We may as well. Come on, dear.
I'll be glad to go.
You're returning to headquarters, Lieutenant?
Yes, to wait for Dr. Chalmers' report on the autopsy findings.
Jim, did the police surgeon tell you his idea that Mr. Black may have died from fear?
No. No, he didn't.
That's another screwy thing that don't mean nothing. Brooks!
Yes, sir.
I want you and Dolan to go upstairs, stay in them rooms until relieved.
Yes, sir.
Any special orders, sir?
No, there's no more investigating to be done until I get a man here to open that safe. We've already covered everything else. Just stay on the job and keep your eyes open.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Those two detectives will remain up there all night?
Oh, yeah, and what a soft snap I've given them. Them lads love to play pinochle together, and they'll have nothing else to do till morning. Oh, they're great buddies, Jim.
I've heard they're the Damon Pythias of your department.
I'd hate to have to stay in those rooms with that frightful odor.
A nasty smell won't do a couple of tough cops any harm.
I hope not. I hope not.
What do you mean, dear?
I don't know.
Please, Dad, sit down and stop walking the floor.
Why shouldn't I walk the floor? You heard what that Jim McGrath told us.
Perhaps I shouldn't have said what I did. But I didn't want you to be fooled by the change in Lieutenant Dwan's attitude when he learned I was engaged to Gertie. He'll kid me along for political reasons, but he's a bull-headed cop who sticks fast to an idea when he gets one, no matter whom it hits.
Yeah, and he has an idea that we had something to do with the death of that tenant.
No matter what he thinks, Dad, he can't prove us guilty when we're innocent.
No. No, but he can make us feel like a bunch of criminals, and he's doing it. He's got them two detectives spending the night upstairs and a couple of others prowling around outside the house.
I know how it feels, Dad. It isn't very pleasant to be treated like a murderer.
Oh, why be so thin-skinned? Only a few hours ago, you and Dad were murderers at heart. You wanted to kill one another.
Gert.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to remind you of that foolishness. Oh, what's the matter with us all? What makes us say and do such awful things?
I don't know.
We've all gone crazy, I think.
The three of you are terribly upset tonight, and with good reason. You're not accountable for your jumpy nerves.
It isn't only tonight, Jim. I haven't told you, but this has been going on for months.
What has?
I'll tell you. We've got to the point where Gert hates Dad and me, and he hates us, and I hate them.
Jane!
Well, it's true. Why lie about it?
God help us all.
Yes. God help us.
You're not your normal selves, that's certain.
If you lived here, you wouldn't be normal either. There's something horrible in this house, a ghastly curse of some kind. That was proved tonight when that man upstairs was killed.
Gertie, darling.
Go away, don't touch me. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you're having an opportunity this evening to learn what a nice family we really are, Mr. McGrath.
Shut up, Jane!
Shut up yourself!
Both of you, be still! Be still! Be still!
I'll say no more.
I'm finished.
That'll be for me, I think. Dr. Charmo's promised to call me about his autopsy findings.
Well, you answer it, then.
Hello? McGrath speaking, Doctor. What? Well, that's very peculiar. You've already reported to Lieutenant Dwan, of course. Well, what'd he say? Yeah, that sounds like him. Well, thanks very much for letting me know. Good night.
What did he find?
You won't have to worry about any further police investigation.
Well, Black wasn't murdered?
No.
Then what killed him?
Dr. Chalmers doesn't know.
Doesn't know?
Here's what he told me. Black's lungs and other inner organs appear to have been seared by flame.
Flame?
Yes, but there's no mark of a burn on his body, or in such external passages as the mouth or nostrils.
Then how?
Let me finish. What I've just told you is the least puzzling part. Black's been dead not quite 3 hours, yet decomposition of his body has advanced to the state normally found in cadavers exposed to the air for 3 weeks.
What?
I don't understand.
That don't make sense.
I'm informed Lieutenant Dwan said it was screwy when the doctor told him.
Jim, what do you think?
I'm trying to think, but I don't know where to begin.
Good Lord!
What was that?
Pistol shots!
Upstairs!
Them two cops is up there!
Mr. Sharon, come on!
I'm afraid! Oh, that crazy laughter!
There's a madman up there!
The door's open!
What's happened in here? What?
I killed him. I killed him.
Brooks?
Yeah, I killed him. Like he wanted to be killed. And he wanted to kill me. I liked it. It was swell to see him die. I pumped 6 bullets into his head. Oh, it was great to see him die.
Oh. He's fallen!
There's a knife stuck in his chest!
These two cops have killed each other.
Dolan stabbed Brooks with that knife, and Brooks emptied his service gun in Dolan. These men were partners, friends. Why?
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 That odor, it permeates these rooms again.
Slow down and cut the siren, Bill. This ambulance will never make the hospital on time.
Brooks is dying, Doctor?
We're almost gone, Mr. McGrath. When that other cop stuck a knife into his chest, he did a thorough job. I told you it was hopeless when we put him in this bus.
But he's got to tell me what happened in those rooms. The man he shot was dead before you got there. I've got to know what made them fight. They weren't enemies, but friends.
Well, there's one chance in a million of making him talk. Can't hurt him now.
What are you doing?
Injecting glenoan directly into his heart muscles. If anything will make him rally for a moment, this is it.
He's opened his eyes. Brooks! Brooks, can you hear me?
Huh? Hello?
You just killed your partner, Dolan. Why?
I remember that. I wanted to kill him.
Wanted to kill?
Yeah. And so did he. Something got into both of us as we sat beside that safe and sniffed that rotten smell.
Safe? Smell?
We didn't quarrel. He was always a right guy, Dolan. He just stabbed me and I shot him. As we sat beside that safe and breathed that smell, I wanted to hurt somebody. Anybody to see him in pain and watch him die. And so did he. As we sat beside that safe, we breathed that rotten odor.
He's gone, Mr. McGrath.
Yes. That safe, that rotten odor.
Now, you look here, Jim. You and I vote in the same ward and can do each other favors, but I don't like the idea of all this monkey business in a place where 2 of my boys have made murderers of themselves.
Please take a chance on me, Lieutenant. It's only a wild idea that I have, but it may prevent further tragedies in this house. And you haven't got a better idea.
I have none at all. Last night, the Sharon's tenant is found dead in these rooms from Lord only knows what screwy cause. And then Brooks and Dolan, Just go ahead. Do anything you want.
Thanks. How are you coming along with that safe burner?
Yeah, it is an easy one. Old style. I have it open in a minute.
Don't open it when you get the actual combination. You leave that to me.
Yeah, I remember.
Touch a match to that kindling in the fireplace now, Malloy. I want a good, strong blaze in there.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, what's the idea of that on such a hot day?
It's just an idea. Will you call the Sharons up now?
Oh, all right. You folks can come on up. Dr. Sherlock Holmes has got his stage all set.
Come on, girls.
Yeah, the last tumbler I just hear fall. You can open the safe door now.
That's fine, Berner.
Oh, what are you going to do in these rooms, Jim?
I'm not sure yet, Mr. Sharon. But I want all of you here. Gertie, have you and Jane those little crucifixes I asked you to bring?
Yes, but why did you want us to...
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Oh, it's all part of the mystery our friend is building up. And now it's time to start your show, so what's it all about?
I'll tell you. And if it proves a failure, you won't have to laugh me out of town, for I'll already be gone. I have an insane theory concerning the deaths in this apartment because there is no sane explanation for them, as we understand sanity. Gertrude, it was shortly after Mr. Black became a tenant here that you and your father and Jane began to quarrel, wasn't it?
Why, I guess it was.
Well, what's that got to do with...
Much, I think.
I don't see how.
I believe you'll all agree that the thought is the greatest force man has ever developed. For thought has been the instigator of every step in his advancements, from bestial savagery to what we know as civilization. But like all great forces, it has power for evil as well as good. It can destroy as well as aid.
Okay, I don't get you.
If the books on these shelves are any clue, the man who owned them never had a thought that wasn't degenerate and vile. I think his thoughts polluted this house. I think that rotten odor we've all noticed is an emanation from his perverted mind. I think at last his thoughts took physical form and destroyed him. And though he is dead, inwardly consumed by fire, and decayed as normal flesh does not decay, I think the monster his filthy brain conceived is still alive. I think last night its power made two good men turn into murderous beasts.
Jim?
I think you're Screwy.
We'll see when I open the safe.
Do you expect to find your thought monster in there?
No. But I expect to find the thing that binds it to this earth.
What?
The book its creator wrote. A book even worse, perhaps, than those he read. For he added the sum of his own twisted imaginings to those he borrowed. A fundamental rule of Satanism he doubtless practiced is to receive gifts from the devil. One must do things pleasing the devil. And this book was his offering. One that was accepted all too well. Dark things are strongest in the dark, their natural element. I'm hoping, in the light of day, we'll be able to destroy it. I'll open the safe.
No, no, don't, Jim. That odor pervades the room again.
That book must be destroyed.
Now just wait there, boy, wait. I don't believe a word of what you've said, but that smell is getting awful.
It mustn't stop us.
Door.
Pile of manuscripts is in there.
The book!
Don't touch it, Jim!
It must be thrown into the cleansing fire. Fire destroyed those other pages he wrote. It destroyed him. It's the only element that consumes entirely.
Don't take it in your hands!
Jim!
A dark shadow is forming around him.
An awful, monstrous shadow!
Oh, his face is changing!
Oh, he's laughing like that cop who killed his friend!
Kill!
Ah, he's coming after me!
Malloy! Sharon, help me hold him!
Let me go! Let me go! I'll kill you! I'll kill you all! Kill! Kill!
Gertie, get it! We made him drop the book. Now, let's throw it in the fire!
Yeah, but don't touch it with your hands as he did! Use the fire tongs!
Yes!
He can't hurt you, Gert! Where are the crucifix?
Yes, I've got it!
Throw the fire!
There!
The flames have got it!
Jim's gone limp in our arm!
Jim!
He'll be all right. He'll be all right now. The devil is out of him now.
Look!
A shape! A shape is forming in the flames!
Of that burning book!
It's the monster he said was in there!
The thought monster of evil!
It's gone now. It's disappeared.
The odor's gone, too.
Yes. The air is fresh and clean again.
Gert. Gert, what did I do?
Nothing you meant to, dear. Nothing any of us will ever do again. For now the tenant of this house is gone. Forever.
Thoughts for They're like to get you in. Come see me in Satan next week on me birthday. 102 years old I'll be next week.
This concludes the 280th weekly broadcast of The Witch's Tale, written by Alonzo Dean Cole, produced and directed by Frank Murphy. Music arranged and conducted by Tom Mazur. Original score composed by Mike Reagan of Sound Deluxe Entertainment. Sound effects designed and coordinated by Glenn T. Morgan and Brian Solano of Sound Deluxe Entertainment. And starring Mr. Barry Williams as Jim, Miss Roxanne Dawson as Gertie. Tom, her father, was played by Mr. Ted Levine. Jane, her sister, by Miss Julie Haggerty. Lieutenant Dwan by Mr. Bill Mooney. Intern by Mr. Judd Nelson. Announcer, Mann, Dolan, Berner, and Malloy by Mr. Jess Harnell. Dr. Chalmers by Mr. Brian Phelps. Detective Brooks by Mr. Mark Thompson. And old Nancy and Satan, as usual, by themselves. We hope you have enjoyed the Mark and Brian radio program presentation of The Witch's Tale.